Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz, how you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray, rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Happy Memorial Day weekend. That's right. Memorial Day weekend is upon us. Live from the Parks Racing Sportsbook inside Chickies and Pete's in Malvern. It is Memorial Day weekend. And the shore is already popping. This is fabulous, man. Oh, it's already popping. It's funny because yesterday, the traffic going down, just crossing the bridge, going back to Jersey, was ridiculous. It was unbelievable. I was like, wow, everybody's going. Because then I veer off on 295 South, and 42 was just like a parking lot. And that was when we got done the show yesterday. Just amazing, man. Just incredible. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to do the shore battle bracket today. All right. So we're going to have some fun with that. I'll explain that in a moment. We're going to do all the – I do the shore five. It's going to be a fun day. We're just going to talk about Jersey Shore and memories and all the stuff that we've always done here in the Delaware Valley. Couple things. Aaron Nola. What? You know – you want to talk about losing patience. Aaron Nola. Oh, my God, dude. We talked about this being a big night for them because they were facing one of the Braves pitchers that they can really handle, right? This kid, Dennis Dodd, they can handle him, and they did handle him. Actually, they probably should have scored more runs. They scored four runs, seven hits. They got to him. But, my God. Nola, he comes up small constantly. Oh, my God. And the shame is he's got such great stuff. He really does. Like, you look at yesterday. You know, he just gets caught in trouble. He just does. He nibbles too much. It's a shame because he's one of these dudes that should be great. Or should be a lot better than what he is because his stuff is really good. And he just does not, he constantly disappoints you. Constantly. Oh, man. That was so frustrating. That was probably, I noticed, you know, we talk about the start and the whole thing, but that was a game that I felt frustrated by last night. That was a game that I actually was mad. Because it's the first of four, you had that dramatic victory, right? Dramatic win. Turner gets you a big hit, right? The whole thing. And then you lose. And you lose because Nola wasn't good enough. He's small time, man. Just is. Small time. I mean, that's a weak outing. You know, you're on the road against a great team in the Braves. I get it. But that's where you got to step up. Your team's got to get momentum going, and that would have been a perfect game. You had a distinct advantage in the pitching matchup, and you came up little, came up small. Seriously, I'm not giving him any kind of big money. I'm not giving him big money. He just, I can't count on him. And that's the essence of Nola. That, you know, he can look great. He's got all the ability. I'll never deny that he's not a guy with talent. You just can't count on him constantly. Oh, man, he's such a source of frustration. That game gave me such angst last night. I was so pissed off. Like, you need him to come in and shut them down. And he, you know, the best is he has seven strikeouts because he's got great swing and miss stuff. Oh, he's so annoying. He might be one of the most frustrating athletes that have come through here because of what he can do. Oh, man. And then, of course, you got to watch the Celtics come all the way back, win again. It's now 3-2, and they're going to win the series. I'm telling you now, they're going to win it. Telling you they're going to win. They're going to go down. They got all the momentum in the world. They're going to go down to Miami. See, the Heat, it's a shame because they just have lost player after player after player. And the latest is Gabe Vincent. Now, he'll be back, but, you know, in what capacity? That was a that's yet another tough loss for them. It's a shame because if they're full strength, like if they have Tyler Hero, if they have Vincent, right? If they have, who's my man off the bench who could score, who I always liked, right? You're missing player after player after player. It's a shame. And now the Celtics are going to come all the way back and win the series. And it's going to, I guess it'll be good for the finals. But I can't believe this NBA playoffs is the greatest torture ever. Because you got to watch Jimmy, right? Jimmy's one thing. And you got the Green Goblins on the other side, right? So they're Green Devils. And you got the Joker. This is just torture. I just feel tortured by these playoffs. I just want them to be over with. Judas, get him over with.
Get what over with?
The entire NBA playoffs.
You're done? You're done. You don't watch anymore?
No, I'm done.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. I didn't watch yesterday because I was too busy watching the Phillies blow lead after lead after lead, courtesy of Aaron Nola. So I guess I could be cool with the playoffs coming to an end because regardless of the result, whether it's Nuggets, Heat, or Celtics, whoever wins the NBA Finals, I'm going to be disappointed in some way. Right? If it's the Celtics, you're disappointed that it's the Celtics. You're pissed off that it's the Celtics. If it's the Heat, you're thinking about Jimmy Butler and the guy that got away. And then if it's the Nuggets, it's the Jokic factor. So the NBA playoffs are kind of just a reminder of how cruel basketball has been to us Sixers fans for the last 6 years. So I hear you, man. I wouldn't be disappointed if it ended today.
Oh my God, it's torture. And I'm telling you, they're going to come back and win. They're going to come back. The boss is going to win it. Those freaking bastards. I hate them. They're going to come back and win. Oladipo is the other one I forgot. Thanks, Hutch. Because Oladipo's been hurt too. I mean, they just got decimated. Otherwise, Miami wins, and they go give if they're 100%, and they got Tyler Hero and they got Oladipo. Then when they go in, they could actually give Denver a run. But losing all those guys, it kills them.
Yeah, when it came out that Gabe Vincent was going to be out yesterday, you immediately start feeling not so great about the Heat's chance, especially in Boston. And so that's the way it is. You know, all of a sudden the Celtics, they got a chance still to only, 3-2. Miami still has two more chances to win it. I'm still pulling for Miami. Not that I really have a rooting interest, but, you hear in your own voice. You don't want the Celtics to move on.
No, I don't. You know, it's funny. I'm caught in between it because here's the problem. One, I don't think the Heat can beat Denver, and I don't think it's an interesting story. I don't think it's an interesting series. I like Jimmy, but I have a love-hate relationship with him. Right? Like, obviously, they should never have let him go. But he actually has some culpability, too.
Yeah, of course.
Because people forget that he was a prickly fellow.
Right.
All right? I mean, he was a giant prickly fellow. Okay? So, he's not exactly innocent. Now, they're stupid for not bringing him back and figure it out, but he made it hard. He made it easy for them to do the wrong thing, if that makes sense. So, and then I'm not in a rush to see him win. And then I just hate this. I hate Celtics, period. And I hate this Celtics team.
Yeah, you hate this team, and it goes back to history. I mean, to the point where but you had some of these guys in your top 15 of hates, right? Marcus Smart climbed during that playoff series for you.
Yeah,
I'm sure if you updated it, some of these guys would be even higher.
I think one of his
Horford.
Real quick, just from an engineering standpoint, I think you're too hot and I'm too cold. One or the other, because you're coming in strong.
Oh, okay. I'm coming in at normal volume on my end, so if we could just bring you up a little bit, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, that's out of my pay.
There we go. Now it's beautiful. Now the levels are all good. They were good at the start of the show when you do your good morning. And then, now that we're in conversation mode, it has since changed. Inside radio, ladies and gentlemen.
I have a big mouth, all right? I got a big mouth. I'm too loud. I'm a loud rock. It's terrible. Anyway, freaking Nola. I can't stand him. I can't stand him. He's a can't stand you, Nola.
Yeah, he's bugged me for a long time now.
Oh,
you know
God,
that.
I can't stand him.
He's always been on my nerves.
Drives me insane.
I give him a lot of credit for how he pitched last year, especially down the stretch. And he pitched well for the most part in the playoffs. World Series, he came up small, but he wasn't the only one. So it's not like I'm blaming the World Series loss on Aaron Nola. But, dude, last night...
You gotta come up big, dude.
Bro, they put up a 5 spot for you. Like, you know, they're giving you every opportunity to win. And I know that Braves team's good. Nobody's saying that was going to be an easy task, but it's not like you didn't have multiple leads to work with. Multiple. Every time the Braves came back and tied it or took the lead, the Phils tied it or took the lead themselves.
Dude, how about the pitch he gives Ozuna?
Yeah, come on. And Riley, you know, like, these guys are...
Dude, you're throwing cookies, dude. You want your freaking Chips Ahoy Nola. I mean, what are you doing? Come on. I mean, seriously. It's one... What's the Girl Scout cookie? Fluffernutter? What is it?
I like the peanut butter one.
Yeah,
there's the normal sugar cookie.
I mean, that's Nola. Nola should have a Girl Scout hat on instead of a Phillies cap. Those cookies he serves up. What are you doing?
Yeah, he's been disappointing really all season long. I know his previous outing was good, except for last night. He's had a down year, man. And he wanted the money before the season started. Yeah, I know. And that's the thing. We've seen that a lot in the regular season in series like the Braves and the Mets. He comes up small, man. And yesterday was just another moment where you go, dude, you're supposed to be, you know, opening day starter, ace, right? I think they try to keep everybody happy that way. We all know the relations. He's not great either this year.
You know what it is? I'm done with him because anytime I need to count on him, I can't count on him. There's nothing more frustrating. Like, because he's got ability. And I never was a Nola hater. I always would give latitude. But last night, come on, man. I've seen him dominate the Braves before. Oh, he bugs me to dust. All right. That's why today we're going to go heavy Shore talk today. And it is the Battle Bracket Shore Edition. So we need your help because we need a fourth region. Well, we need to help filling all the regions out, all the games out. But we have the treat region, the fun region, the meal region. I'm not really in love with that, but and then we need another region. So because we want iconic brands, like you know, you could have the Core Brothers. Right, like that's one of that'll be a game. I mean, they made the tournament. Mac and Manco's, right? Max, Curly Fries. We got to come up with. Maybe we just do all treats, Chunas.
I mean, I could do all treats.
Can we come up with 64 treats?
Nah, maybe not 64. We could do 32.
We did the junk food.
Yeah, I mean, there's like
or sports food.
There's like the ones. Isn't there like the fried banana on a stick? Like, nobody's going to vote for that, but I know that is something that's on the beach. There's the fried pickles on a stick. I mean, there's like 10 things on a stick.
Yeah, I don't know. I want it to be the Battle of the Shore, so maybe that's a region. Maybe I'm with you. Maybe we make that one region. So the treat region would be there. The fun region makes sense. Could put a miniature golf course, you know, all that stuff.
It might just be different tournaments. Yeah. How are you going to vote between
I know.
A pizza and a roller coaster.
I want to do the battle, man. Coming up, you got to give me where we stand. All right.
Oh yes, the poll that's going till the end of the show today.
It's the battle. This is Shore Wars 2023, Wildwood versus Ocean City. A battle. Battle Wildwood versus Ocean City. All right. I got to take a quick time out. We'll come right back. We're live at the Parks Racing Sportsbook inside Chickies and Pete's right here in lovely Malvern.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Tunis, it's 11 a.m. Open the vault.
You know, when we began opening this vault nearly 2 hours ago, we had no real idea what we'd find inside. As it turns out, we haven't found very much.
Vault brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
Well, it's the Friday of Memorial Day weekend, Anthony. And so a lot of people will be heading down the shore. So I figured I'd try to do a little bit of everything to make you happy, especially because I know you're not going down the shore, unfortunately, this weekend. But you do like cinema, and we got TV Todd coming up at 11:30, so it all kind of fits out perfectly. I got some beach scenes in movies. And
oh, dude, really?
Yes.
That's fabulous.
And I'm sure I'm going to miss a few.
Well, let me check. Can I guess some of them?
Probably not. I mean, you'll
you got
know.
Jaws in there, right?
Yeah, well, I'm saving the best for last.
Okay.
I'll run through it because I'm, you know, it's there's going to be
right,
stuff that's
too,
missed.
Whatever.
Because here's
all
the
right.
deal. Unfortunately, a lot of the greatest beach scenes are like just slow motion scenes. You know what I'm saying? And,
yes.
You know, I can't really, that won't work on radio. So, you know, that kind of sucks. But we'll start with a beach scene. Let's go with this one. It could be all kinds of genres. It could be, obviously, Jaws isn't a comedy, but there are some comedies as well. We'll start with a movie that you mention often for a different reason, but Wedding Crashers, we have a quick little beach scene in it.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
It was really great. We should probably head back so they're not looking for us.
I always knew my first time would be on a beach.
First time? You're a virgin? Wow.
Jeremy, we're going to be so happy together. I love you.
I'm sorry?
So that's the first one that we start with, of course, Wedding.
Stage four clingers.
That movie's awesome.
It is. It's one of the
that
great
movie's
movies.
Hilarious.
Ever.
Yeah, he runs
Shut
over.
Up, clown.
We got stage four clinger. We got stage four clinger. I love that movie. All right.
I have to tell you, I do too. I love it.
Now, I will be completely honest
Come
with
here,
you.
Patre. Let me. The best is he's making breakfast.
Yeah.
You're going to sit over there. Big guy's going to sit over here. Going to eat my breakfast.
Yes.
All right. We're
going to
relax.
This is a movie that. I'm sorry. I don't find that funny. I know people love it. It's one of these, like, I think you have to either love it or it's just not for you. I'm not really a big Big Lebowski guy. Did you find it funny?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It just kind of, I watched it and I was like, all right. I mean, I chuckled a few times. But here's the scene where they were spreading the ashes.
We commit your final mortal remains to the bosom of the Pacific Ocean, which you love so well. Good night, sweet prince. Oh, shit, dude, I'm sorry. Damn wind.
Damn it, Walter. You're tall.
Dude, I'm sorry.
Travesty with you, man.
I'm sorry. It was an accident.
I will be honest. I laughed during that scene. Of course, the wind was blowing. And
yes.
It's the dude in the face. All right, so not everybody will be going to the beach, of course, Memorial Day. You might just be hanging out by the pool. And I figured, why not one of the greatest pool scenes in any movie, a movie that you've seen a billion times, and something that I'm sure...
Say a lot.
Damn right.
Okay, I got him. I got him. Come on up, Wendy.
Michael Squints Polydorus walked a little taller that day, and we had to tip our hats to him. He was lucky she hadn't beat the crap out of him. We wouldn't have blamed her. What he'd done was sneaky, rotten, and low. And cool. Not another one among us would have ever in a million years, even for $1 million, had the guts to put the move on the lifeguard.
So, I gotta ask you, when, like, Moss saw that scene for the first time, what was the reaction? And Wendy Peppercorn was hot, man.
Yeah, nah, he's still in, There was nothing there.
Nah, like a look away, a look away scene.
He went gross. Like he's like it. You know, girls are gross.
Okay,
he's in girls gross mode right now.
All right, so
which is great, which I'm grateful for because
give it a couple more years.
At some point,
give it a couple more years, bro.
Yeah, I know. At some point, you know, it's going to be a problem.
So right now,
I'm happy.
This weekend, a lot of people will be playing sports on the beach, of course, Ant. And that's, of course, what Johnny Utah did in Point Break.
Ah, oh, yes, that's strong.
Hey, what the f*** is wrong with you? I just think that's a little out of line.
Whoa, cool it, Roach. Don't you know who this is?
No, I don't know who this is.
This is Johnny Utah. Ohio State Buckeyes all conference, remember?
Number 9, man. How you doing?
Number 9, man. Johnny Utah, sorry, man. Didn't get your face.
Man, I knew you. It was the Rose Bowl. 3 years ago, you beat SC, right?
You did this.
Yeah.
That was one hell of a game.
Yeah, but you got nuked in the last quarter or something.
Yeah, I got my knee folded back about 90 degrees the wrong way.
Whoa. That's why you never went pro?
2 years of surgery. Missed my window. Lived through law school instead.
Law school? You're a lawyer? Wow. Well, life's not over yet, man. You're surfing.
Lawyers don't surf.
This one does.
That's the best. Now, here's the greatest thing in the world, all right? You got a bunch of Cali surfer dudes.
Right.
All right? Who are also bank robbers. You're telling me that the Cali surfer dude who spent all their time surfing the beach and robbing banks are watching college football?
Yes.
They got
time on their hands.
Like, they're watching Ohio State, USC. Get the hell out of
here. Oh, number 9, man.
Yeah, like, he knows the jersey.
He knows the jersey. All right. Yo, Will Anderson, number 44, 47, man.
The surfer dude is not watching Georgia and Alabama. There's no way. This surfer dude's doing that.
Hey,
let alone
you never
watching
know.
Any football. I don't know. The surfer dude's not watching football.
You never know, man. Big score, they had some time on their hands and they watched football.
No.
I mean, they bet the spread.
That was the biggest nonsense of the movie. It was a great movie, though.
We move on. We continue. Another beach scene, and some may say beach is like freedom. When you're away from your work, 3 day weekend, 4 day weekend, you may think of the beach as freedom.
Get busy living or get busy dying. That's damn right. For the second time in my life, I'm guilty of committing a crime. Parole violation. Of course, I doubt they'll toss up any roadblocks for that.
Yep.
Not for an old crook like me. Fort Hancock, Texas, please. I find I'm so excited I can barely sit still to hold a thought in my head. I think it's the excitement only a free man can feel. A free man at the start of a long journey whose conclusion is uncertain. I hope I can make it across the border. I hope to see my friend and shake his hand. I hope the Pacific is as blue as it has been in my dreams. I hope.
Now, you and I have referenced that scene a lot over our years together. But it's going to be Lithuania and Italy.
That's right, my brother. That's right.
That's where that's seen each other. We're going to write postcards to each other. Yeah, meet me here. All right, two more for you. This one's a quickie.
Dude, we're going to be doing that. You know that.
Yes,
we're doing
course.
It someday.
This one's a quickie. This is a, I'm gonna open up to you, Ant. I got to see, what year did this movie come out? Because I cried. Hold on, what was it? It was called This. I don't want to spoil it. Let's see. All right, 2000 this movie came out. So I was 6 years old, dude, when this movie came out, okay? So full disclosure, six-year-old Chunis cried during this scene.
Wilson, where are you? Wilson! Wilson! I'm sorry, Wilson! Wilson, I'm sorry!
That, of course, is Castaway, when Tom Hanks is floating away in the ocean, and Wilson, the volleyball, his only friend on the island, man.
Sad.
Six-year-old Chunis. I start crying. I still remember my mom being like, it's okay. It's just a volleyball. Yeah. I like, it's his friend. It wasn't just a volleyball, Bob. So, one more.
Here's the problem. The volleyball, Wilson, I go...
You want Spalding?
Duke. If it was the Duke football, then I get weepy. I lost the Duke.
So you didn't care. If it was a football, if his friend was a football, you would have bawled your eyes out.
Yes.
But the fact that it was a volleyball, you didn't care?
Yeah. All right.
What about an A-10-10 baseball?
Yeah, but the Duke football, I'm in tears. It's the Duke.
All right, last one. Saving the best for last. Everybody be safe out there. Again, our thoughts and prayers to the poor girl that got bit the other day.
This is not even, this is for real.
This is for real.
Already, there's shark bites all over the world.
So just be careful out there. Everybody be safe. It's not like the water's going to be all that warm this weekend anyway. But, you know, if you're surfing, you got the vests on. That keeps you warm a little bit. But here it is. Speech.
700 men went into the water. Vessel went down in 12 minutes. Didn't see the first shark for about half an hour. Tiger, 13-footer. You know that when you're in the water, Chief? You tell by looking from the dorsal to the tail. What we didn't know was our bomb mission had been so secret. No distress signal had been sent. They didn't even list as overdue for a week. Very first light, Chief. Sharks come cruising. So we formed ourselves into tight groups. You know, kind of like old squares in a battle, like you see in a calendar, like the Battle of Waterloo. And the idea was, shark comes the nearest man, that man, he start pounding and hollering and screaming. Sometimes the shark go away. Sometimes he wouldn't go away. Sometimes that shark, he looks right into you, right into your eyes. You know the thing about a shark, he's got
doll's
lifeless eyes, black eyes, like a doll's eyes. When he comes at you, he doesn't seem to be living until he bites you, and those black eyes roll over white, and then, then you hear that terrible high-pitched screaming. The ocean turns red, and in spite of all the pounding and the hollering, they all come in and they rip you to pieces. And 3 hours later, a big fat PBY comes down and starts to pick us up. You know, that was the time I was most frightened, waiting for my turn. I'll never put on a life jacket again. So 1,100 men went in the war. 316 men come out, and the sharks took the rest June the 29th, 1945.
Wow.
Okay, dude,
he was so good that scene.
I mean, that scene was amazing.
I remember we talked about it.
I actually wish you played it from the beginning, like right when it starts to get serious,
yeah,
and then he rolls into it. And then he goes back and he talks about his buddy, baseball player.
Right, baseball player, yeah.
You know?
I remember I played this scene a couple months ago because it was the movie came out or something like that. Or the guy wrote the book, I think it was. And somebody told us that the actor actually, he rewrote the scene because he didn't like it. It didn't do it justice. It was almost like too PC to what actually happened in real life. So he wrote that scene himself.
Yeah, that's amazing. Tommy Tuberville. Or he was from like Ohio or
something like that, yeah.
Baseball player. He was bobbing up and down. Shocked him in half. Like, that's outrageous, dude. Incredible.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Our man, Kevin DeGondi, on the Comcast Business Hotline. So we'll talk. There he is. There's my man, Kevin.
Ant, how we doing?
My man. So let me ask you, were you a Shore kid growing up?
Yeah, so that's actually a really good question. I was not a Shore kid because my background of being Indian, our family didn't go to the beach. We just didn't go.
I was wondering that because culturally speaking, if you were able to go, if your family took, it's all about the family, right? Did the family take you to the beach?
100%.
They were not a shore people.
No, but I can tell you when I became a teenager, I'd go down with friends. And then, of course, senior week in Wildwood and Avalon.
Yeah, buddy.
Ocean City, Maryland. I made sure I made up with my teen years for all the things I lost in my my early youth at the shoreline.
Now, did you the Wildwood Boardwalk? Did you imbibe in the Wildwood Boardwalk?
Oh yeah, and I got some stories I can't share all publicly. We had some fun on the Wildwood Boardwalk. Listen, Wildwood back in the Wildwood back in like the early 90s too, man. I don't even know what, I haven't been down there in 20 plus years, at least the boardwalk in Wildwood. Back when we were there, man, it was a scene and we had fun, man. I think any type of fun that you would think of 17, 18,
dude, you and I were there. You and I were there at the same time, bro. Same time, dude. It's nuts.
We cross paths in so many ways, and there's no doubt. And I'm sure there's listeners now in their mid to late 40s that were right around at the same time we were there, man, having a blast.
Between Wildwood Boardwalk during that time, between the all the Phillies, the Vet, the Spectrum. Yep. Oh my God, amazing!
Yeah. And that summer of '93 was pretty awesome too, because the Phillies, obviously they had caught lightning in a bottle in that special team, so. We would have a blast at the Vet going to those games. And then, obviously, going in the weekends, every weekend. Where are you going? We're going to the Shore. All right, I'll see you down there. And that's how we do it.
And they sneak it into bars. Forget about it. It was the best. It really was. Yeah. A rite of passage is really what it was. All right, let me ask you now a couple things. Because Memorial Day weekend is the gateway to summer. What does the Negandhi summer look like?
Travel baseball, and then more travel baseball. And if you didn't get enough of that, some more travel baseball. And I love it. We got very active.
You got a tournament tonight?
this weekend? Yeah, we got travel baseball tonight. We've got games everywhere, and it's good, though. And honestly, like, there's nothing better. And then we got a couple vacations planned here and there, but there's just nothing better than going to a park, watching your boy, and watching your team grow together, man.
I love it. I love it. I swear to God. In fact, I'm so upset that we don't have a tournament this weekend.
Really? How do you not have a Memorial Day tournament?
I don't know. I was like, same thing. Like, we have no games. I go, man. I feel kind of empty.
Yeah, what are the Garganos doing? You guys got anything?
I don't know. Nothing. No, we're doing nothing. And I'm thinking, I'm missing, because all I want to do is do the same thing like you. I want to just go. I love doing it. We were in Hershey last weekend, and so we had a tournament up there. So I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah, brother. Listen, I will say this. Enjoy the quiet while you can, and then gear up for all the All-Star weekends, and that's coming up as well as you go deep into June and July.
Yeah, I know, brother. I'm with you. All right, a couple quick sports items, and then I know you're on the road, so I don't want to kill you today. But one, Sixer coach, who are you looking at? And then to replenish the team already, the NBA, you know how all the rumors start. Nothing like those rumors in that league. And there's all kinds of craziness surrounding the squad. Your thoughts on the coach first?
My number one choice would be Nick Nurse. And I think the guy has the ability to create with whatever he has. And if we're out of the Nick Nurse sweepstakes, because there are other opportunities like in Milwaukee and in Phoenix, I wouldn't look too far, and I'd take a look at Sam Cassell seriously, especially with the growth of Tyrese Maxey, how he is understood as a point guard to play in big moments. Don't forget those Rockets teams. I think people often overlook. And I don't think he'll back down to anybody. So I think Cassell deserves to be looked at. And then the third guy would be Monty Williams. But here's the thing. Remember how we got Doc? We got Doc after what that collapse was like with the Clippers. Doc didn't learn anything. He didn't have that time to breathe. And that's my concern. And Monty's coming from the same situation, right?
Yeah, it's a good point.
I also think you need time to reflect. So I'd be kind of curious to see, you know, if there is the interview process. Like, what was said in those conversations on what you learned in Phoenix?
That's a great point. Because, Doc, see, I think they need an X and O guy. So I'm kind of with you with Nick Nurse, because I think they need someone that can draw it up in a huddle and not just go, you know, go play defense.
100%. And to your point specifically, this team needs that. Considering what they're going to have to go through over the next season, they're going to need an XO person to draw up specific plays. They need somebody guiding the ship on that bench.
I'm so with you. So with you. Now, all kinds of the latest rumor that Tunis brought up today was Kawhi Leonard straight up for Joel Embiid, which would against that. I want nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that.
So, to your point, Ant, I've heard those rumors. You know what this is? It's the silly season where reporters and, you know, people that are hearing these rumors, they just put stuff out there, right? And when I heard that yesterday, I was like, wait a second. The guy's 31. He is a shell of who he was in 2019. We've got a guy who's 29, fresh off the MVP. His value can't be any higher. I love Kawhi, but I love 2019 Kawhi. Not Kawhi over the last 3 years. A completely different player. And when you look at the games played over the last three seasons, why do you think the Clippers would want to get rid of that contract and unload him? Because he doesn't show up, especially in the postseason. He is just like a Ferrari.
Yep.
Take him out for a great spin, and then he's in the shop for another 2 months. And that's my biggest concern with Kawhi, because if something's hurting Kawhi, he's not playing through that pain. Look at his track record. Look how it played out. He had one phenomenal season in Toronto where you could say he was the best player on the planet. Since then, Kawhi's not that type of player anymore, and that was 4 years ago.
I'm so with you, brother. So with you. I mean, I feel the same way. I just don't get it. Now, how do you see the shakeup? What are you hearing up in the campus? Because all kinds of rumors go through the campus of Bristol. what are you, any good, any interesting stuff are you hearing?
I
think going back to Houston and maybe a game and that sort of thing.
I just don't see how it's feasible with Damian Lillard being mentioned in any type of trade unless you get a third team involved. And we don't have assets. The Sixers literally have no assets. And this will be Daryl Morey's, I think, toughest season and offseason trying to figure out, hey, how do I manage this and figure it out? Now, I think what this comes down to, it comes down to James Harden's decision. Does he want to go back to Houston where his mom has a house there, he has ties there, he's still loved there, I know ownership likes him, or does he want to stay here where he has a relationship here, specifically with the GM and Daryl? I think it's going to come down to James Harden's decision, not the Sixers, because I think the Sixers are going to try to keep him. My biggest concern is, point blank, are we going to hear Joel Embiid say, I want to get traded? Are we going to hear that? And that's my biggest concern.
Brother, I'm with you. I do not want to hear that. See, and the thing with Harden is, I just don't want to put up $200 million and push all in on Harden. And after seeing Jekyll and Hyde in the playoffs, I think the guy's been a gentleman. I have nothing bad to say about James Harden. But I just don't want to invest $200 million. You know?
And you nailed it. Let's just look at what he did this year, right? I mean, he was a team first player, right? But look, he didn't have any acceleration in those final two games. He had no lift. Can you imagine him at 36 and 37?
No.
That's not pretty at that price tag.
And that when you're looking at, you know, Joel's career, the arc of the career, you need him. You can't just, he's got four major years left. You're coming into a big time when it comes to Embiid. You got to come away with a championship with him. You have to.
You 100% nailed it right there. That window is getting smaller and smaller. And listen, we already know we've got the number two in Tyrese. In this league, two guys ain't going to do it. Look at the Phoenix Suns. You need a lot of other pieces. Look at how the Celtics have struggled. You need pieces. You need multiple guys. Look at the Lakers. AD and LeBron, you need multiple guys.
Does LeBron opt out?
You know what? If he does, it's just he's always in control. He's gonna be in control of the situation as he decides where, you know, when and what at what point and what team his son gets, you know, drafted on. And that's where he's going to play with Bronny.
Right.
I don't think anybody bought into the retirement talk. The guy has played this long, this far. He's going to continue to get have the ability, as any father would, to play with your son.
Yep. No, I'm with you. And lastly, freaking Nola. Nola, again, let us down. You had the big, incredible game on Wednesday where Turner comes up. You come back from a 5-0 deficit to avoid being swept. If this is it, you're going to now go on a roll. And, you know, he lets you down again.
It's so frustrating. It is so frustrating watching him. And nationally, everybody I talk to that does not follow the Phillies, they rave about Nola. And I'm like, are you guys all number guys? Because there are so many instances that he lets us down. He'll have a meltdown of an inning where it's inexplainable, right? It's so frustrating because when you think of an ace, the first guy and the only guy that comes to my mind in the rotation is Zach Wheeler. I know I can count on him to shut things down. And pitching's been just dreadful for the Phillies on the bottom part of that rotation. But Nola, there's, especially in the Braves series, you're opening things up. They got you some offense. It's maddening. But yeah, I don't want to point this all on Nola. That 1-2 spot has been absolutely dreadful, and I thought we had it figured out with Trey Turner. And I'm just at a loss for words how they cannot generate any offense at the top two spots of this lineup, even with the additions that they've made.
I know. I hear you, my brother. I hear you. Listen, you have a great holiday weekend, brother. All right, we love you. Enjoy the kids. Be safe.
And I appreciate everybody. Be safe out there, man. Have a good weekend, bud.
Ah, brother, we love you. There he is, the great Kevin the Gandhi.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.